Welcome to Island Ghost Radio. I'm your host, Mike Taylor.
Just throw him off again.
Stealing the intro from me.
Why do you always get to do the intro?
I thought it was in my contract that I always get to introduce the show.
What contract?
Contract.
With who?
The devil.
I don't know.
All right, go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
The fictitious contract that I had in my head.
Yes, go on.
The mental contract.
Go ahead. You're Mike Taylor. Go ahead.
Yeah, everybody wants to know that, right?
Island Ghost Radio, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. You've tuned in. Thank
yada,
you.
Yada.
Island Ghost, blah, Mike, blah.
You know, one day we should just do a show that has nothing to do with ghosts and see if people actually notice.
I think they will.
Let's do a show on cooking. Tonight we're going to make apple strudel.
We should do a show on weight loss.
that would be funny. That would be crazy. We would never do a show on weight loss.
No, that's insane. Hey, you know, I'm really excited about our guest tonight.
Who is our guest?
It's Doug Carnahan from NorCal Paranormal.
Yes, and
love him. Love
him. Haunted Truth Paranormal Radio.
Yes.
Good show.
Great man, and he's cute, like a bear. You just want to hug him.
Yes, I do want to hug him.
You do?
Well, no.
Okay.
I try not to make it a habit to hug other men.
That's not true. I have pictures of you hugging men.
Really?
I have videos of you hugging men.
Oliver.
Oliver, our investigator.
In our group, in Island Ghost Investigation.
Yeah, well, that's a little different. That's brotherly love there.
Okay, just don't pretend like you're all manly over there, okay? Because...
hey, I never said I was the barometer of macho here.
Don't even try.
I'm confident in my heterosexuality to hug another man.
Okay.
You bring a man in here and I'll hug him, damn it.
Okay, well, getting back to what are we doing here?
We're making apple strudel.
That's right.
So you take 3 pounds of apples.
You strudel them. What the heck is strudel anyway?
It's German for pastry, I think. I don't know. Someone write in.
No, that's okay. I don't really care.
That's the latest poll. What's strudel?
Yeah. What is strudel?
What do you believe strudel is?
I think it's German for straddle.
Oh, that makes more sense.
That sounds vaguely dirty.
Straddling your apples?
Ooh.
Oh, God.
Let's not go down that road.
Apple straddle.
So, yes, Doug will be coming up shortly. But first.
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 First. Let's talk about the Shanley.
Ah, the Shanley.
Let's talk about the Shanley. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the investigating that we will be.
I had way too much coffee. I am zooming.
Silliness.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. That's why we should get on with the show. Let's talk.
Ah, the Shanley.
Yeah, the Shanley. Yes. Good thing you brought it up.
Thank you.
We are having an event at the Shanley Hotel on April 17th of this year. And if you're listening 4 years from now, this is the year 2010.
It's too late. You missed it.
But we want everybody to go to islandghostradio.com and check out our Shanley event. Spend the night with us ghost hunting. You could pick your room.
Yes.
Pick your friends.
And pick your nose.
Exactly.
Yes. That joke's getting old, Erica.
I just like it.
You just love picking, don't you?
Yes, I'm a picker.
You can pick your scabs. You can pick your...
I'm a picker.
I'm a greener. I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner.
Who wouldn't want to spend the night with us?
Sane people.
And they'd have to pay, too.
You know, here's the thing. If anyone's tuning in and listening to us, they're saying, wow, I need a paranormal investigation in my home. I don't know that bringing these people in is too wise. We're actually very silly on the show, but very serious.
People would wonder if we walk in like the Three Stooges.
No, we could show up in a clown car and about 50 of us are going to I'm going to do the never-ending handkerchief trick.
That's right. All paranormal investigators should learn that one. So, yes, we're going to have a night of investigating at the Shanley. We're going to show a presentation of ghostly evidence that we've captured in our group Island Ghost Investigations.
And then we investigate?
Yes. Tickets are on sale. You can go to the site and hurry up and get your room because just as of today, someone booked the Bordello.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Good. That's not for sale anymore.
Always a good time.
Yeah. It's always fun. Always fun hanging with the peeps.
Yep.
I enjoy it.
Me too.
So remember, islandghostradio.com. Click on the event section. Go there.
Can we get to Doug?
So let's get to Doug.
Let's get to the meat of the program.
All right. We're going to take a little break. A little short musical interlude.
Doug is the meat.
What was in that coffee, Erica?
It sounds like a bumper sticker.
Doug is the meat.
Meat and apples we're discussing tonight.
Wow. All right. We're going to get to the meat.
I want to meet the
AKA
meat.
Doug. Right after this little break. So join us on the other side. You're listening to Island Ghost Radio.
Paranormal meat.
Yummy.
Mamma mia, that's a spicy meatball.
Doug has over 26 years in the paranormal field as an investigator, with over 360 investigations during that time, which includes investigations involving ghosts, free-willed spirits, poltergeist activity, and demonic entities. Today, most of his cases are of the extreme nature. Doug is what's known as an extreme haunted survivor. In the early 1980s, he was physically attacked in his own home for a period of 6 months. This experience launched Doug headfirst into the paranormal field, seeking answers to unanswered questions. Doug is the founder and president of the world-renowned paranormal team, NPI, NorCal Paranormal Investigators. Doug is listed among the top paranormal investigators in America. He's also been seen on the Today Show, as well as show commentary for Discovery Channel's Weird, True, and Freaky, Back from the Dead. Doug is scheduled to film on the Bio Channel's My Ghost Story, based on an actual investigation that captured some amazing evidence. Doug has been featured in many newspapers, magazines, and internet articles. One of Doug's passions is speaking and sharing with others regarding his paranormal experiences and is looking forward to many upcoming conferences and speaking engagements. Doug is also the host of one of the top-rated and most popular internet paranormal shows going on 3 years, The Haunted Truth, Paranormal Radio, formerly named NorCal Ghost Talk Paranormal Radio. One of the most important campaigns for Doug and NPI is getting the word out about the dangers in the paranormal field and protecting the children, a campaign to discourage underage investigating with children and educating people about the possible dangers in the paranormal field. Today, Doug seeks out the extreme natured hauntings in order to help those in urgent need and help to save people and their families from being destroyed. It's one of Doug's missions to do whatever needed to give people back their lives.
Yay, Doug!
Yay!
Well, thanks a lot for joining us, Doug. Doug, how do you say your last name is Carnahan?
It's Carnahan, yep.
Okay. Okie dokie. So, one thing we're really interested in talking to you about is children investigating the paranormal.
Okay.
We would like you to talk about
sure.
that.
Sure. Well, or having them not investigate the paranormal.
Exactly.
Do you think there's a certain cutoff of age?
Excuse me?
Do you think there should be an age cutoff for investigating?
I think 99% of the adults out there shouldn't be investigating as well.
That's true.
I hear you on that one.
I mean, an age is not really, You know, there's not a line that I would say that once you reach a certain age or height or weight, you know, you should be allowed to investigate. I think it comes with experience and having
maturity.
The abilities to do that.
Yeah, maturity levels.
Yes.
Maturity level. Yeah, I think you I'm getting a feedback. Are you guys? Is this cool or what?
We're not getting it on this end, but that happens sometimes with Skype. I know it's kind of annoying, but it'll come and go.
That's all right. I just want to make sure it's not interfering with your end.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, as I was saying, yeah, it definitely has to do with the maturity level, and in my eyes. But, you know, children, let's face it, you give a child, most children, keys to a car at 12, 13 years old, they'll tell you they can drive the car better than you can.
But, that's right.
But what's going to happen? I mean, we all know that they'll jump in the car, they'll race down the freeway, and sooner or later, there's going to be a problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's the same way with paranormal investigating. And I think people are just simply, you know, watching what's going on TV, not really grasping the dangers of what's actually going out there, and that comes with ignorance. They have no knowledge of what really is going on in the field of the paranormal. It is extremely dangerous in certain situations. Myself being an extreme haunted survivor, I know firsthand that spirits, demonic and human spirits, can really take a hold of your life and turn it upside down. And it can be physical, too, and mental.
Well, you mean teenagers as well, right?
Yeah, anybody, yes.
Right.
But teenagers, absolutely. Children, teenagers have this energy, this aura about themselves that attracts spirits. They have, they're open. And that's what spirits come to.
Right.
When you're that open, your light is shining bright. And that's what spirits come to, good and bad.
Yeah.
Spirits come looking for help, sometimes for answers, for directions. They also come looking to wreak havoc.
You know what's scary? How many of us as kids played with Ouija boards?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's exactly true. And not in the myth out there is it's a toy, it's a game. Well, it's not so much the board that is the danger. It's what you're doing with it. It's what you're inviting. You're inviting something to come over, take control of you, take control of a part of your body. And when they have that invite, it's, you know, the door is wide open.
Yeah. Doug, one of the things I've always thought to myself, I'm definitely on board with you about children and paranormal investigating. They should not be going out there. But I'll go one step further. I don't think anybody who isn't fully aware of who they are, they shouldn't go investigating either, in my opinion, because, you know, there's a lot of people in their early 20s who, you know, they really don't have a sense of who they are. They don't have a belief system, or at least not a solid belief system. And I think that's one thing that's very important in being a investigator, is being confident in who you are. But yeah, absolutely. Bringing children out it's pretty crazy. But what would you say to parents who have children that ask, "Are ghosts real?" What do you think they should say to their children?
You know, it's to the point right now, and I would never advise parents to deceive children. And that comes straight from, you know, when they're very young, 2-3 years old, and I'm sure you've heard it and been asked, you know, what do I do? My child's seeing things or coming to me with, you know, being scared of hearing or seeing things in the middle of the night, and I don't know what to do. You know, what you need to do is you need to be upfront. You need to tell them, you know, the truth, but you still need to be cautious. Parents need to be educated. They need to be aware of what's going on in the world today and in the world, you know, beyond ours. especially when you have young children that are involved, you know, in or wanting to be involved in the field. I'm not against kids or young adults or anybody having an interest in the field. But what I do strongly suggest is if you're a young adult, if you're in your teens and you do have an interest, don't go out and start, you know, exploring things and getting in the middle of stuff you have no business, one, being in the middle of and don't understand. Because
right.
What you don't know in this field can definitely hurt you. I believe, you know, young adults that have a really deep interest should start with the behind-the-scenes type of investigating, doing background checks, doing, you know, checking histories, things of that nature, even after investigations, you know, doing, checking EVPs and watching, you know, video for evidence. Definitely get them involved with doing that. But until, like you say, Mike, they have a sense of who they are. They have, you know, some life experiences and have a way of protecting themselves. Not until then, and going through an apprenticeship program with an established team, should they be out there physically doing paranormal investigating. That's my opinion.
Right. They should think about maybe putting in some time reading books and maybe even listening to podcasts.
Absolutely. I mean, any type of you know, books or reading or any kind of background information, history that they can get their hands on and you know, go that route, that's for sure a good start. I mean, from the television shows and, you know, what we're seeing nowadays, it doesn't really give you a sense of danger. And if it does, it's basically they don't understand that, you know, they think, well, after an hour, it's okay. You can just turn around and go home. But how many people actually come home with attachments?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, going out and not knowing how to protect themselves before and after. What do you do when you have attachments? For the most part, people don't know and don't understand. So they're going into situations based on what they see on TV. We, for the most part, know who are in this field full-time, that it's entertainment. It's not exactly how professional investigations are conducted.
Yes.
And it's a simply for TV show ratings.
Yes.
But that's what the young people see. That's the excitement that they see. And for the most part, they want a thrill.
Right. Now, you started something called Protect the Children. You're the founder of that. What exactly do you do with that?
You know, it's just an awareness program is what I want people to be aware of the fact that children involved in the paranormal are, you know, 10 times more acceptable to contacting attachments or, you know, being physically and mentally hurt in the field. And that also means that the parents, the guardians need to understand that it's not something, it's not like going to the movies, you know. It's not like, you know, here's $5, go have a good time.
Yeah.
There's nothing out there that you can guarantee will not hurt you.
Right, exactly.
Well, Doug, what got you started in the paranormal field? Did you have an experience?
Yes, I did. Back in the early 80s, long before we had computers and you know, the TV shows and the big hype on the field, back before it was cool to be an investigator, I was living in an apartment complex by myself, and I'd moved in probably about 5 or 6 months prior to having any t- types of problems or issues. One evening I was watching TV, got up from the couch to go into the kitchen to get something to drink, and probably took about two or three steps from the couch and was hit with a force hard enough that it almost knocked me back about three or four steps.
Wow. Huh.
My first instinct was I couldn't see anybody in front of me, and there wasn't anybody to hide, you know, there wasn't any place for somebody to hide in front of me. So my first instinct, I'm thinking, well, somebody, you know, grabbed me from behind and pulled me. So I spun around, and I'm looking. I'm trying to find an intruder, and there's nothing there. And so I'm a little dazed. I'm a little, you know, shocked. I'm not sure what's going through my mind at this time, but it was like, you know, what? What the hell? What is going on here? prior to that, I did not have an interest in the paranormal field. I did not. It was not a, you know, it was not something I read up on, had any involvement in whatsoever. It was,
right.
You know, it was not part of my life.
And you're not a little guy, right, Doug?
No, I'm not. I'm ashamed to say I'm a pretty big guy. I'm about 5'11". I'm about 245, 250.
Oh, I wasn't asking for your weight. I meant, you know, you know, light feather that's just gonna get knocked around.
Yeah, I'm a healthy, strong man. So it's not something that, it's not something that just very lightly is gonna kind of brush me over. This knocked me back, and I've wrestled. And played football and was I've always been very athletic.
Yeah.
And strong. So this was quite a force.
Wow.
To knock me back. Well, after I kind of shook it off, like a horse kind of leaned against a electric fence, it was like, duh, what the hell? I started to walk into the kitchen again, and boom, I got hit again. Again, it really wasn't, you know, spirits and ghosts really were not registering in my brain at this time. But it was very dumbfounding to me. And it started to, I started getting a chill. I started having a fear, you know, I was afraid. Well, what was this? This happened four times that night.
Wow.
I sat down and just, on the couch, on the edge of the couch, and just watched and listened and you know, for any type of movement or what was going on. My brain was just not really, you know, calculating
right
what was happening here. Eventually, about an hour later, I got up off the couch and kind of, you know, said to myself, whatever this is, I'm not letting it keep me from, you know, going anywhere I want to go. So I just kind of put my head down like a bull and went for it. And nothing, there was nothing there to stop me at this point. And I was able to go on into the kitchen and the rest of the house and with no problem. Now, two days went by, nothing happened. The third day, kind of like the same scenario. Was downstairs watching television, decided to get up, and it started again. This time, I became angry. I became very belligerent, and the neighbors must have thought I was out of my freaking mind, to be honest with you. And mentally and verbally, I was challenging whatever this was and telling them, I don't know who you are, what you are. You're not making me leave. You're not, you know, forcing me to go anywhere or do anything.
Doug, looking back on that now, would you still suggest handling it the same way as you did? Would you do something different now?
You know, I would, for me, probably knowing what I know now, I would still stand my ground, but do I suggest that to people I have as clients now that they're involved in similar situations? No.
Yeah.
It's not something I would readily suggest a family or people involved with to be, this...
confrontational?
Exactly. Because what happened was eventually over a six-month period, this went from pushing to punching, slapping, scratching, to even biting.
Sounds like one of my dates. Oh, sorry, go on.
Yeah, a good date. So.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. Go on.
What happened over this time period is I started to learn my environment. I started to learn how to, feel this energy growing. I could feel the atmosphere changing in the room, the energy, electricity, in the air, the heaviness going on. And it got to a point that I was able to start predicting when these attacks were going to come on. And I would put myself in a protective kind of position, mm-hmm. But I would still egg it on. Hmm. And I'd still say, do whatever you think you're going to do because I'm not leaving. And I would get punched and thrown around like a little rag doll.
Wow.
And this would go on from anywhere from a minute to 5 or 10 minutes.
Do you believe that was human or non-human?
To this day, I'm kind of liking to lean towards it was probably a low-level demonic situation. How it got there, I have no clue. Possibly people playing with Ouija boards, seances.
Right.
Maybe it lay dormant for a while until something happened that woke it up to me being there. I'm not sure. But that's one scenario I have. The other scenario that I have is possibly somebody had passed in the apartment there that I was living in. Back then, I did go and contacted, the management, tried to find out any kind of history. They weren't having any of it. They didn't want to divulge any kind of information whatsoever. I never got a true story. But the only other thing I can imagine from all the years now that I've been investigating, which is 26 plus years, mm-hmm. is that it may have been somebody in the past, didn't know they passed, and saw me as a intruder, and was desperately trying to get me out of their house like anybody else would.
Right.
So how did you manage to get rid of this entity, or did it just go away?
After 6 months, it became extremely more violent and more frequent. The more that I pushed it, the more it pushed back. But I believe that what finally happened is I outwilled it. I believe I just outlasted it. It was not going to get the better of me, and I think its energy, I used up its energy trying to do whatever it was trying to do. That's not to say that it's not maybe still, dormant now and waiting to come back out. I don't know.
Doug, did you tell anybody about this, or did you try to get help?
We're talking back in the 80s, and there wasn't, what did we have back in the 80s?
Yeah.
We had palm readers.
Yeah.
On the corners.
Yeah, did you tell your friends?
We had nobody out there in the field that was really readily available. Now, most of your big-time people back in the 70s and 80s were back east. You had the Warrens and people like that, but they weren't readily available to come out and help people. But what I did do was read what I could. Again, when you're put in a situation like that, you learn fast to survive and what to do and what not to do.
But did you tell anybody in your family or your friends?
I did have people over that witnessed this. They didn't come back. I did have a during that time frame, I did have a lady that I was seeing. She caught witness of it, and she did not return. So it wasn't. It was kind of rough on on the personal relationships.
Oh, I would have stayed with you, Doug.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
But it was something. The neighbors, of course, knew that something was going on, because I did question them. I did explain to them, hey, if you're hearing me sound like a maniac in the middle of the night, this is what's going on. And, you know, the reaction was, you know, just kind of doe in the eye, you know, big doe eyes, and okay. because, again, this was not something that – this was taboo stuff back then. This is not stuff we talked about at the dinner table.
Yeah.
We shared with a lot of people. And for people to bear witness of something that was that powerful to knock me around, that scared them. Scared them very much.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to get involved in it for fear that it might attack them too.
Yeah, they're probably like, you know, thinking about The Exorcist or something.
Yeah, I think the movies back then, you know, The Exorcist, of course, had been out. I think Entities, I don't know if you've seen that movie, but that was a pretty, with Barbara Hershey, that was based on a true story out of L.A.
That was the one when she had sex with the ghost, right? I mean, the ghost raped her? That was the one with,
Yeah. Right, yeah. So that was out about that time. So people were kind of, you know, aware of the possibilities of things like that, but firsthand versus being on the big screen or, you know, TV,
it's quite
different.
Did you feel that you were losing your mind during this? When this started happening to you, did you say to yourself, this is a spirit or a ghost, or did you think you were going crazy at first?
No, Mike, I wouldn't say I was thinking I was going crazy. And honestly, the first thing that came to my mind was not a spirit or a ghost. You know, it's funny. The first thing that came to my mind was I thought I was being electrically shocked.
Huh.
There was something that was – I was looking for an outlet or something that was, you know, burning or something.
Interesting.
It was that kind of force. I don't know if you had as a dumb kid stuck your finger in a light socket.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, it knocks you across the room pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of felt like that at first.
Oh.
So I was just trying to be as logical as possible, not growing up, you know, involved with, you know, the paranormal. It was not the first thing that came to my mind.
Right.
But after, you know, it happened the second and third time, it was like, yeah. This is something here is going on. It's supernatural. It's paranormal, and that's where my thoughts were going, and that's where my you know, getting what information I could at that time was the direction I was going.
Right.
And from there, that 6-month ordeal kind of just it launched me into the field. I knew there had to be, if it was happening to me, I knew that it had to be happening to other people. And I knew it had to be happening to families with children. And my thought was, if I beat this, I need to get out there and help people understand and try to fight this off too. Because it totally disrupts your life. It totally turns your life upside down. Especially again with families and children, you're totally lost. And without somebody that has the experience to combat it, you have no place to go.
Right. But look what it's done now. I mean, you know, you're founder of NorCal Paranormal Investigators. You have the, show Haunted Truth Paranormal Radio. Right. And, tell us about the Haunted Truth Tour.
Okay, well, the Haunted Truth Tour is something that myself, Sean Sellers, Alabama, and Paranormal Sarah, She is out of Minnesota. We've come together and decided that what we wanted to do was put together a lecture tour, go around to different parts of the states, and be able to help educate not only the young people, but all people, but especially the young people with the interest in the field, to get them a good idea of what it's really about. What, if you do have an interest in the field, how to, get the education, how to get the experience the right way, not just kind of throw yourself out in the mix.
Right.
With the potential of getting hurt or getting attachments or something of that nature. So, what we're doing is we're putting together a lecture. Looking forward to hitting the road and going out to different colleges or organizations, throughout the states. Whoever wants us to come and talk, we'll be more than happy to do that.
That's awesome. Good for you.
And it's in place of, I don't know if you've kind of been watching the conferences going on of late. There's been so many conferences that have not been able to happen.
Yeah.
Because of the economy, because of, a lot of different situations, mm-hmm. A lot of people have a great idea of putting on conferences, but without ticket sales, they can't make it happen.
Right.
And it's been, pretty disheartening for people that want to meet, investigators out there, want to, get the information, get an education on these certain things and learn, and they can't do it because they're just not happening right now.
Yeah.
So we thought it would be a better idea to kind of put a conference on the road and be able to go to them instead of them coming to us.
Doug, what do you think is the biggest misconception that people have about the paranormal or the paranormal field?
I believe the biggest misconception is the fact that it's not dangerous, that it's fun, which some parts can be. But I don't believe people really understand the dangers that they're putting themselves into when they decide to, put together a team, read a book or two, mm-hmm. and then proclaim themselves paranormal investigators, start taking on clients, and getting themselves into situations that they have no clue what they're getting into. It's not only dangerous for them, it's dangerous for the clients.
Yeah.
And I really believe that people really need to educate themselves so much more about what's going on in this field and what could happen before they get out there and start, proclaiming themselves to be investigators.
Now, since you've been you said you've been investigating now for 26 years?
Yeah, a little over 26 years, yes.
Have you ever encountered anything as strong as the entity you first encountered that propelled you into this?
I have encountered a handful of dark entities that are and were of the same caliber. So yeah, probably about a half a dozen at this point.
Wow.
It's more of what I kind of lean towards is the extreme hauntings nowadays because of the fact that I have that experience and that knowledge in the field. But that's not to say that I wouldn't help anybody that needed my assistance, but I'm more prone to go and help people that are really experiencing the more darker type of hauntings.
Right, right. Well, Doug, if you don't mind, we'd like to do something we do with our guests. We'd like to put you on the hot seat. There it is. That's the sound effect. We have to have a sound effect
Mike
for the hot seat.
Mike just set fire to a chair.
Yes. Yeah. It's a ritual. These are questions we had on our Island Ghost Radio website. We do polls. And I want to ask you a few of our more controversial questions. You can feel free to say pass if you don't want to answer them. I'll start off with, what do you believe orbs are?
Well, you know, I do believe that there are orbs, but orbs to me are natural energy. They're not spirits. They're not, you know, Aunt Sarah coming back to visit. but just like lightning, there is a phenomena that happens in the atmosphere that will create an energy force. An orb, if you will. But for the most part, what people are sending me photos of and, you know, look at my pictures, what do you think it is? 99% of that is dust, dirt, bugs, moisture in the air, what have you. But I do believe in orbs. I just don't believe they're human spirits or any kind of spirits. Her natural energy in the
atmosphere. Amen. Amen to that.
How do you handle when you have someone, say, come up to you at a conference or email you a photo and say, oh, look, I feel it's my Aunt Tilly, and you know it's probably dust or moisture. How do you break the news to them?
Well, first I give them a big hug. And then I tell them, I'm the last person in the world. You really want me to look at orb pictures, but if you still do, I will be happy to. And, you know, it's a funny thing. They still say, yes, look at it. And I do, and I say, for the most part, I say, very interesting, very nice. You know, I don't believe that what you're seeing is a human spirit. That's not my belief. Is it a natural orb? I can't tell from this photo.
Right.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right. Moving on. Next hot seat question. Oh, feel the flames. Sorry, cheesy sound effect.
The lighter fluid down.
Do you believe?
I need some asbestos shorts.
Do you believe paranormal TV shows fake evidence?
God.
That's the hot seat.
I know. And you know, I'm going to film one this heading down to L.A. on Friday to do so. Well, let's see.
you can pass.
No, I'm not passing. I don't pass. But I'll try to be very diplomatic here.
Okay.
I do believe that. And let's be honest about it. Anybody that is anybody in the field and knows anybody, you know, on these shows, which I know quite a few people that are on several different shows, mm-hmm. You know, love them to death, but it's entertainment.
Yes.
A lot of this stuff is edited for entertainment. Have I been privy to people faking stuff? Nobody's ever came out to me and said, that's phony, you know, that we fake this. But I think there's enough stuff on YouTube or, you know, behind the scenes videos that it was pulled off of the cutting floor, mm-hmm. and somehow made their way to YouTube and things of that nature, but to prove that there has been some shenanigans going on in the past on different shows to kind of enhance what people might think
right.
are evidence of paranormal activity.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's entertainment.
That really diplomatic.
Yes.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. I mean, my opinion is it's definitely entertainment, and you should not watch these shows as a how-to, and you know they've got to keep ratings up and they got to keep viewers coming back. So you really got to take everything with a grain of salt that you see.
Anybody who's been in at least one investigation knows how to make a K2 meter go off and say yes or no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just, you know, have your walkie-talkie and
exactly.
Your buddy's hand, you know, right down the,
yep.
You know, across the way from you. And you can have fun for hours with that.
Oh, my God, the spirits won't go.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely entertainment, you know, and, if you're learning your skills from watching TV, you know, the top-rated show is Ghost Adventures. Three lovable guys, you know, playing the, nowadays Three Stooges, Moe, Larry, and Curly. Yeah. It's like, you know, I'm waiting for
funny.
Zach, you know, poke Nick in the eyes or something, you know, slap him across the head. So far it's just, shut up.
I'm waiting.
That's a top-rated show.
Yeah.
Wow. You know?
I'm waiting for one of these startup groups who watches Ghost Adventures to tell a client, we have to bolt ourselves into your house at night.
Yeah, exactly. Let's wrap a chain around the windows.
Yeah.
Even if we scream for help, don't let us out.
Yeah.
God.
Exactly.
All right. Moving off of that hot
seat
question.
I'd like to ask Doug a question.
Oh, okay. You want to?
Yes, boxers or briefs,
Doug? Oh, boy. That's a hot seat question.
Flame
really?
Retardant.
No, I'm only kidding. I'm sorry.
Okay, because I go commando.
TMI. TMI.
You asked, Erica.
Commando!
Well, the audience likes that.
No, the question,
let it be known.
The question I really wanted to ask was, who in the paranormal community do you admire? If anybody.
Feel free to say us. It's okay.
Who do I admire? Jeez. It has to be the old guys. I mean, it has to be Hans,
Holzer?
For one. The Warrens. John Zaffis, only because he tries to be as funny as I am. and he's younger and I look better. So,
can we quote you on that the next time we see John?
Yeah, he knows it. I have to take my hat off. If I was wearing one, I'd take a hat off. I have to really take my hat off to Jason and Grant for, if nothing else, for bringing this to the dinner table.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll give them that.
To opening this up and allowing it to be, kind of the taboo to be lifted a bit.
Right.
Do I agree in everything they do or have done or will do? No, hell no. But they kind of blazed the trail.
Yeah, you're right.
And so I do take my hat off to them for that for sure. Here's the deal in the field, in the paranormal field, is for most part, there's so many unsung heroes out there that we don't know and will never know.
Right.
Right.
That work very hard. And to help people that are really dedicated to this field. What the sad part is if you don't have a TV show, 99% of the people won't look your direction or believe a word that you say.
Yes, that's true.
And if you do have a show, then, you walk on water.
Yeah.
For the most part, most of the dedicated people out there are people that, don't have TV shows and will never know their names.
Right. Well, last question. We're running out of time here, but what do you hope to accomplish as an investigator?
I've accomplished pretty much everything I've set out to do as far as collecting evidence. And evidence, to me, at one time was huge, being able to prove to the world, I'm so far past that. I don't need to prove anything to anybody. My concern now is helping the client, helping people, educating people, getting my clients their lives back, feeling safe and comfortable in their home, and having children, being able to sleep at night in their own bed. That's what I hope to accomplish.
Well, what else is there? I mean, I think that's the biggest thing anybody can accomplish.
Yeah, that's great.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not here. I mean, there's so much evidence out there right now that if you don't believe, there's nothing I can pull out of my hat that's going to make you change your mind.
Right.
For the most part, if you believe, you know, any kind of evidence, you'll do backflips at. If you don't believe until it happens to you, you're not going to believe it.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Doug, can you tell everybody your website or websites where people can reach you?
I'm on MySpace mainly.
Uh-huh.
And that's just myspace.com/NorCalParanormal. If you want to check out the Haunted Truth Tour, if you're interested in checking that website out, that's www.thehauntedtruthtour.com. And if you'd like to join me and my co-host, Rita G, Sunday nights, 6 p.m., 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, for the Haunted Truth Paranormal Radio, we'd love to have you join us as well. And that's, of course, www.blogtalkradio.com/thehauntedtruth.
Awesome.
Excellent. And will you be coming to New York anytime soon?
Not unless you send that ticket.
I have to do that. Doug Carnahan, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We've had a great time chatting with you. It's always great to chat with experienced investigators.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. It's been quite a pleasure. And, you know, my tail's not burnt that bad. So, no harm done. But,
the asbestos pants helped.
Keep up the great work. And, we'll have to have you guys on the show, The Haunted Truth, one of these days.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Doug.
All right, Doug, thank you for calling. We called you, but thank you for joining us.
Thanks for calling us, calling you, Doug.
Thank you for answering.
Thank you for letting us call you.
You guys take care. Thanks so much.
Keep up the great work. Thank you very much.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.